Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Old Testament books like Deuteronomy warn God's people against engaging such ones, people claiming that they can tell our future just by talking to them on the telephone. People claiming to have such supernatural powers have been around through the ages. Other books of the history, like Samuel, even tell the story of Saul, the king of Israel, who sought out such counsel. What motivates people, even God's people, to seek out such prophets? And, more seriously, what is behind this activity that caused Jehovah to react so strongly against it? We'll look at both of these questions today and more than that on this life study from Deuteronomy. Francis Ball has joined us for this fellowship. Francis, welcome back.
Well, I'm very happy to be here, but this is a complicated section we're in this time, and I feel quite good because there are two things I think that we'll see today. One is how we're supplied for our portion, for our living, and so on. And the other is what's prohibited to us,
right?
What we should not get engaged in, which you've alluded to there. So I think we'll have a real eye-opener for this to see where we are today.
You know, you and I were talking a few minutes ago before we came to the studio about how there seems to be an increase in this kind of activity and interest in such things. If we go back 10 or 15 years, I don't remember nearly the presence of these kinds of little cottage businesses like they are today, and now it's gotten to be big business. There's a real renewed interest in our society today in knowing the future, isn't there?
Yes, there surely seems to be, and I think it's largely due to people's fear about the future, their security and so on. They're just not assured where they are and what's happening, especially in these days right now. People are wondering what's happening on the earth today, and they're worried about their future, their security, and their children's education and all of these things, how they're going to make it.
I think that's one of the real eye-opening aspects of the program today, is to see the source behind this. And two things covered in chapter 18. One is our provision, and the other is our prohibition, what has been prohibited from us. The beginning of the chapter opens up this way, Francis, and it talks about the priesthood, the Levites who were the priests, and how their portion was to come. Of course, we know all of the tribes, as they entered the land, were getting quite a substantial inheritance. The Levites, a little different. Let's look at verse 1 here. It says, "The Levitical priests, the whole tribe of Levi, shall have no portion nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat Jehovah's offerings by fire and his inheritance." Interesting, Francis. How did the priestly tribe of Levi survive? How were they supported in the nation of Israel?
Well, I think this is the biggest item in this first part of our message today, is how we're supplied. Of course, the Levites and the priest, or I could say the priests and Levites, really a portion of the ones that took the lead and were standing for God among the children of Israel. But we have to see all the children of Israel were like a big family, and they all got a portion when they came into the good land. They were allotted a certain portion, except the priests and Levites, their portion was God himself.
Uh-huh.
They were not given a portion of the land, so they had no portion to work on. So how would they live? Well, it's quite clear here how they live. The children of Israel all brought a tithe, and this tithe was a portion that was given to the Levites, who were the serving ones, serving God, serving the offerings, and so on. And then the Levites would take a tithe of the portion they received, and that would be given to God through the priests. So the priest's portion was God's portion. So they would eat and enjoy God together with him. It's quite good because Brother Lee mentions here that if you were invited to have a dinner with the president, you'd be quite happy to be able to have a dinner with him.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd feel quite elated,
right,
to be included. Well, this is the way it is. These priests were really invited to eat God's food. And God's food was the tithe that came from the Levites who had received their portion from the tithe that came from all of the Israelites. So you can see this three stages. The Israelites, all of the Jews, supplied a tithe for the support of the Levites, and the Levites supplied a tithe of what they received as a support of the priests. We find God is quite loving, quite fair, and quite exact.
Right.
And we'll see on the negative side when we get a little farther along in the program.
This is the positive side, and in a sense typifies us in the New Testament. All the believers really are the priests, and so our portion comes from God.
That's right.
Which, according to creation, even when God created Adam and gave him such a lofty position, he shouldn't have to worry about where his food and shelter and provision was coming from. God had really promised that. But man, along the way, turned away from that promise
right.
and turned away from that high status that was ours even in creation. And so we find now that God has to institute a prohibition against looking elsewhere
yeah.
for our provision. And that's really what's signified by these spiritualists and fortune tellers, or soothsayers, as they were noted in the Old Testament.
Uh-huh.
Let's look at the couple of verses now in chapter 18 as we move a little farther. Now we are onto the black side, and you gave us the white side. Beginning at verse 10, it says, "There shall not be found among you anyone who performs divination, practices soothsaying, or interprets omens, or anyone who employs sorcery, or casts spells, or anyone who consults a spirit of the dead, or a familiar spirit, or inquires of the dead." What's important, Francis, as we consider this, is firstly to see what motivates people, even God's people, to seek out such so-called prophets. What is behind these practices? Let's go to Witness Lee.
Now we come to a portion concerning the prohibition against performing of divinations. All the things I just can tell you, human beings have lost God. God created us in His own image with the intention that we could address God. Even God has entrusted us with His headship, the authority to rule over all the other creatures. So we were put in a very high position, right? At that time, before the fall, we, the human beings, didn't have any worry. I don't think Adam had any worry. You know, today, in any country, in every nation, the people's first thought is security. Do they have something to eat? Do they have something to feed their children? This security. Do I have the ability to pay my rent, to pay my mortgage? When you worry about this, you always worry about your security. Number one. Number two, everybody likes to live long. Everybody likes to have longevity. Don't you like to live long? I must tell you, the poor people love longevity. The richer ones love more longevity. Now they got wealth, right? This is their portion. They are afraid that they would die tomorrow. Then leaving all the wealth to others. So they like to have a longevity, to live long. My, if I could live 150 years old, how about that? Even when you could live 150, you still expect to live 180. You don't like to die. So you like to have security, then longevity. You like to have security, longevity, what else? Peace. All human beings don't like to be bothered. Do you like to have any kind of disease? You like to have peace, no bothering. So you like to have a good wife or a good husband. You like to have nice children. Everyone's behaving, everyone gets the grace. What is this? We all like this.
Francis, you really get the feeling in that little 2 or 3 minute portion there, he's setting the stage for something that's coming, because he certainly did a very comprehensive summary of human life in a way, didn't he?
He certainly did. That's really what is in man's heart. How he can live long, stay healthy, and be rich.
Yeah. Francis, these things motivate people positively to achieve and succeed, they also can be a source of tremendous negative anxiety. Really springs out of a worry about these things, doesn't it?
This worry is really what drives people to seek out someone that can tell them what's in the future. And it leads to these kind of things that are really, we're going to see today, are all prohibitions on the Christian life.
Well, Francis, with that background set, let's go ahead and get back to Witness Lee. I'm going to add a couple of verses here to the portion I was reading a moment ago to show the degree, the extent to which Jehovah's warning reached and how it expresses his real feeling about seeking out the advice and the counsel of these other spiritual sources rather than coming to God himself as the source and provider for all of our needs. In verses 12 through 14, it says, "For everyone who does these things is an abomination to Jehovah. For these nations whom you are dispossessing listen to those who practice soothsaying and to those who perform divination, but Jehovah your God has not allowed you to do so." As God's people, there's a strict prohibition here, isn't there, against seeking out this kind of help?
Yes, there surely is, and this is because man has turned his back on God, so he doesn't know what's going to happening to him for the future, so he's seeking out someone else that's supposed to know more than he does, even about his own life.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
We are so concerned for these few things: security, longevity, peace, well-doing, right? But we don't know about the future. So what? So we let to go to some spirit. Let the spirit speak something to us about our future. Divination is there to go to this kind of person that can tell you something about your future in a supernatural way. But most of them, they are cheating. They are cheating. You like to spend $100 to get one talk. These kind of persons, they mostly will tell you, you are very much blessed, you will have a good wife, and you will never die until you reach 100 years of age, something like this, and you will have a good business, and this and that, a lot of promises, right? By whom? By the devil. So there's something of demons, evil spirit, hiding behind the desire of what? Security, longevity, peace, well-doing. You have to realize all these things are just the hiding place of the devils, of the demons, the evil spirits. When we worry about all the things, we would go this way to contact the evil kingdom full of demons, spirits. All these are forbidden, prohibited by God. So those who did these things were an abomination to Jehovah. In Canaan, all those Canaanites were this kind of persons. Day and night, they just seek out their evil spirit to tell them something about their fortune. So God hated that. God dispossessed them. That means chase them away out of the land and charged his people to slay them, not to have any pity. So Jehovah God had not allowed the children of Israel to practice these abominations. This is for sure.
Francis, the prohibition, it seems, is absolute here. These ones were to be driven out and even slain. No contact between God's people and these spiritual fortune tellers, so to speak. I think as Christians, as believers, we have a sense that there is a demonic, a satanic element associated with this kind of activity. But he said even hiding behind our desire for security and peace and longevity, there's the opportunity for Satan to operate, isn't there?
There is, and because this is such a disturbing factor in people's minds, especially as the things in the economy of this age fluctuate so much and dangers are facing us all the time,
right.
It just drives people to want some kind of answer, and they want somebody who knows the future. So they're looking out for these who have some kind of a claim that they know what will be best for you. So those divinations, it's called, and soothsaying. Soothsaying even sounds like something soothing.
Right.
But actually, it's a false hope. It's not true. It's not accurate at all. And then the interpreting of omens, people always looking for a good sign of what the future is going to be and how it's going to be with them. The stock market is up. Everything's bright. But when it's down, we're looking for somebody who can tell us what's going to happen. So this is really the interpreting of these things is forbidden to God's people. And then taking or employing sorcery of any kind is certainly against God. The whole thing is seeking out another source. God himself is our source. God is our provider. God is our hope. God is our living. God is everything to us. So when we turn from him, we just don't have any assurance. So they consult some spirit from the dead,
right?
Like Saul did in 1 Samuel chapter 28. He went to this diviner
right.
who brought up Samuel and to inquire of him what he should do. And a familiar spirit or all of these inquiring of the dead and inquiring of somebody is supposed to have some kind of supernatural power to tell what the future is. This is all forbidden for God's people. God is our hope. God is our life. God is everything to us. And he's the source and he's our future.
Francis, a year ago, the stock market was at record high and money was flowing and it seemed like it would go on forever, I think, to a lot of people, especially in America. And all of a sudden, how things have changed. What an opportunity on one hand it creates to introduce people to the real source of their supply. And the third portion that we have today will really point us back now that we've seen what is behind all of this kind of activity that is prohibited for God's people and really leading all mankind astray. The third portion comes back to a genuine prophet, and that's what we want. That's what we want to turn people to, and that's what we ourselves need to seek, especially in these hours that are filled with a lot more trouble and anxiety than they were just a few months ago.
That's right.
Let's look at a couple more verses here in chapter 18. Jehovah your God will raise up for you a prophet from your midst, from among your brothers, like me. You shall listen to him, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them all that I command him. A wonderful, even lovely prophecy there of the coming Lord Jesus, wasn't it?
Yes, that's marvelous, because he's from among his brothers.
Yes.
That's his human part, but he's the prophet from God. That's his divine part.
Well, let's go back to Witness Lee for this very encouraging final portion.
Now, we come to Jehovah God's raising up of a prophet. Who is this real prophet? This real prophet is the upcoming Christ. The coming Christ, like Moses, for the children of Israel. Moses told the children of Israel, God will raise up a prophet like me. I mean, it's like Moses. Then in New Testament, once in Acts, it refers this matter to Christ. Christ is the very prophet that promised by God to his children. Christ was one raised up from among their brothers. This implies that this upcoming prophet will be one divine, yet he will be incarnate. Divine incarnate to be human. So he is the very God-man. As God, as divine, he could never be one among the Jews as a brother. But as the incarnated one, he put on the flesh. He takes the human nature. So he becomes one of the Jews. So he is one among his brothers. They should listen to him. If you read Exodus chapter 19, the children of Israel told Moses, we cannot bear to hear this voice. You just hear for us as a middleman. You can pass on God's word to us. We want a prophet. Now, Moses promised that God will fulfill their desire to raise up such a prophet. God will raise up this prophet through the incarnation of Christ. To speak the word of God. when Jesus came, he used to tell us that he came to speak God's word.
Amen.
To speak God's word simply is to dispense God, to speak God's force into people. John 3:34, he gives the Spirit without measure because he speaks the word of God.
Amen.
I say again, surely all these statutes, right, and ordinances show that our God is a careful God and is a detailed God.
Amen.
Right? He is loving, he is holy, he is righteous, even he is just. Right? So, he does take care of his people in such a thorough, careful, loving, and detailed way.
My, Francis, what a wonderful, uplifting tale to put on this message, that we are turned back to the real prophet, the one who is dispensing by speaking forth God. This is what we need from a prophet today, isn't it?
That's right. He always spoke the words of God. He never spoke his own words, never tried to exercise his own will, but he always spoke the will of God. So this prophet is the one we should listen to. And it's really sad, but it's true that we have to warn even God's people not to go to these other sources, but to come to God himself through his word. His word has been spoken by the Lord Jesus, been recorded in the Bible, and this word is available to us today. So we should pay attention to God's word and what his speaking is, and that's what puts God himself into us, is by dispensing himself in the word, we get Christ himself into us as the Spirit. Today, this is so marvelous, Chris, mm-hmm. that we could be in a day when the Word of God is made so real to us.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus said himself, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." So if we listen to the Lord speaking in the Word of God and to our spirit, we know how to get God dispensed into us. Then we hear the real prophet. No false prophet would come and deceive us if we just stay in tune. Prophet who is the God-man, Jesus in his humanity, Christ in his divinity, Jesus Christ is that God-man who is that prophet.
And he is the one that has the words of spirit and life. Francis, thank you for your help today.
Thank you.
For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.